welcome to episode 40 of a Thai football podcast. Now, this week's slightly different. Rob is out and about, so he's not in the studio. I didn't want to feel left out, so I've had a walk into the picturesque market town of Kendal in Cumbria on the edge of the beautiful English Lake District. And I'm standing on Finkel Street. To my right is Angel Nails, a Korean nail salon. And to my left is Bangkok 7, a Thai restaurant. And I thought it would be appropriate for today, given the fact that the big game is going on between Thailand and South Korea, which we'll have a couple of reports later. There doesn't seem to be much interest in the match in the two properties I've just mentioned, which is quite a shame. Anyway, that's me. You're up to date with me and my movements today. So let's just catch up with Rob, and then it'll be on with the show.
Yes, Dale, it's a postcard from Thai. Hi, that's a good football name for a town, isn't it? And basically, it's up in the mountains about 100 kilometres from Chiang Mai, where I'm based for the next 2 weeks for the cricket tournament. Flew up this morning after my roving report yesterday in not too pristine condition, it has to be said. And then a bus ride, which it's hard to describe really, but put it this way, I'm glad I sat down with Mrs. Rob last week and watched the Italian job, so she had an idea of what was coming, because that was an eye-opener. Anyway, it's about 3 hours out of Chiang Mai, but once you get here, brilliant. We've got a lovely resort down by the river, bamboo bridges over the water, and one of the reasons that I'm not available this week, Mrs. Rob has decided that we're going to go on an afternoon tour, which is quite nice. We're going to see some sights and maybe even do some rafting, which will amuse those of you who know my ability around water.
Thanks, Rob, for sharing that slice of pie with us. I get the impression it's a lot warmer there than it is here in Cumbria, which is no surprise, really, to be honest, is it? Anyway, on with the show. First up, Thailand versus South Korea, World Cup qualifier, Ratchamangala. We've got two reports coming up, one from Gian and then one from Michael.
Thai Podcast Match Report.
All right, hi Dale, coming to you after the end of our March international break doubleheader against South Korea. Of course, the first game ended, South Korea won, Thailand won at the Seoul World Cup Stadium, which was a huge result for Thailand, extremely uplifting result. But today's result went the other way. It was Thailand 0, South Korea 3 at the Ratchamangala Stadium, in front of a sold out Ratchamangala Stadium, I should add, because that first result really captivated everybody's hearts and minds in the country. I mean, the game had sold out even well before the first game away, but since then, the excitement has reached an absolute fever pitch. I mean, you saw today that fans arrived, I think, 3 hours early to the game. It was packed. There were many notable people in attendance, including the Thai Prime Minister today. And I believe the second-hand market for tickets reached 10,000 baht. So that shows just how crazy people were about this game. And it's great to see that. It's great to see the excitement return back to Thailand. I think part of that is our opposition, the fact that we're playing against Korea, which have Tottenham star Son Heung-min, who is the darling of Asian football really at the moment, and one of the best players in the world. But I think also it's a testament to how well the squad have done, not only to get that draw in Korea last week, but also our Asian Cup campaign, how we overperformed there and we've got people back on side. And I think we're seeing a long run trajectory, which is good, even though we've had two managers during this trajectory and the contribution of Mano should not be forgotten. There's a long trajectory of we're doing well. We've won two AFF Cups. We did well in the Asian Cup. Now we're holding our own against the top teams in Asia. And I say this because the message for me really is stay positive. If you told me before the March international break that we would end the doubleheader with a point, I would say, all right, I take it. And especially given that China only picked up 4 points instead of 6 against Singapore, when many expected that they would win both games, they did drop 2 points on the road in Singapore. So it means that qualification for the next round of World Cup qualifying is largely in our hands. If we beat China and we beat Singapore, we pretty much confirm to go through unless some shenanigans occur and China sneaks through on goal difference, which would be a real shame. Apart from that possibility, it's pretty much 90% in our own hands. So we go, we beat China, we beat Singapore, and we're through. As for today's game, I thought we started very well. First 10 minutes, we were absolutely on top of South Korea, which was really impressive. But that high press that Ishii laid out from the start could not not be maintained for the entire game. We conceded early on, 19th minute, to EJ Sung, and Tioton got injured in the process. And that really changed things, because it meant that Mikkelsen, who had presumably been preparing to deal with Son, and already dealt with him in the first game, and was really, you know, at his peak form defensively, had to move out to the left, replaced by Supanan, who has many qualities, many talents, but one-on-one defending is not one of them. And up against one of the best players in the world in Song Heung-min, it was only going to end one way. Before we can get back into the game, Son makes it two, then it's kind of over from there, 3-0 from a set piece late on, and that's the final result that we got. I felt we had some chances to score. Super Chai had a big chance, Jeroen Sak had a big chance, but last week it was Korea's turn to miss many, many big chances. Us at 1-0 down, we also missed our fair share. I think overall the 4 points is a fair reflection. And look, we're up against a national team which has a Tottenham star and a PSG star up front and a Bayern Munich star at the back. So that tells you everything you have to know about how strong this team was. I think we have a lot to be proud of from this performance. And a shout out to head coach Masahiro Ishii as well, who was seen trying his best to sing the Thai national anthem before the game, which is a fantastic gesture. I mean, I don't know whether he was reading it in like written down in Japanese and trying to read it out. I don't know what exactly, but he was trying to read out something and sing the national anthem. And based on the lip reading, he was doing a fairly decent job. So that has certainly helped endear him to the Thai media even further. I think his performance since joining has done that. And here's one for you. Is Ishii's fixture list of his first run of games? That's Japan in the friendly. So Japan, Kyrgyzstan, Oman, Saudi Arabia, Uzbekistan, Korea, and now another game against Korea. Those first 7 games. Is that the hardest start for any Thailand manager ever in terms of the quality of the opponents? That'd be interesting to know. But again, stay positive. 4 points. 2 more games in June. 2 must-win games. And we'll talk then and see if we can actually make it through to the last round of World Cup qualifying.
Well, to be honest, if I was a gambling man, and which a gambling man I'm not, I'd have put a few quid on South Korea beating Thailand today 3-0. Knowing the Korean mentality of them as a football team and as them as a nation, they would not have taken lightly that 1-1 draw in Seoul on Thursday. And it was really shown today in the game. I really believe that Thailand really need to try and pick themselves up now for the remaining 2 games that they will have. It would be quite difficult to do, but Korea are the hardest team in that group. Korea ran riot. And I don't even think they were playing in full force, to be honest. I don't think they were playing in top gear, but they still produced quality football, and it was the quality football that was not shown in Seoul on Thursday. A little bit disappointed myself, you know, as someone who is kind of almost as a neutral, because, you know, I love Korea and I love Thailand. It was a tough match to watch, because I did kind of want Thailand to do well, but Korea kind of turned on the magic tonight, didn't they? You know, and they didn't turn it on that much, but they did enough just to do the job, and, you know, they picked a moments, and you know, they took full advantage, and you know, you can't complain with a 3-0 win, can you? So a 3-0 loss, there's a lot to come for Thailand in the next few games.
So the big games come to an end, and as quite rightly spoken by Jim on the Port Sandpit Twitter feed, there'd be no complaints if Thailand had lost 3-0 last week and got a valiant 1-1 draw tonight. As it happens, they were up against a better side. They'd got themselves organised as South Korea over the few days between the 2 games and were a good side and full value for the win. But not to worry, they go again, they're still in the tournament, got a chance away to China and then at home to Singapore. Great vibe by the look of it in the stadium. I just hope that the enthusiasm carries on and people aren't just there for one game. There's lots to look forward to in Thai football. It's not always right, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not too bad either. And the same issues happen all over the world.
Thanks, Rob. That's a very philosophical way of looking at things. And you're right, they were well beaten today by a much better side. No shame in that. But it's been great, hasn't it? All the excitement. Some of us, including me, got a bit carried away, but it's fun to do that once in a while. And great to see such a fantastic partisan crowd at Rajamangala. Let's just hope some of that filters down and people start going to watch league games. Anyway, as you've probably gathered, I am back in the studio, back in the warmth. It's blooming cold up in Cymru. It's supposed to be spring, but it's more like winter.
Hi, my name is Fran, and I'm listening to a Thai football podcast.
In amongst all the hype for the big international game, There's been another breaking story in Thailand that's caught a few headlines. Finally, Buriram United got rid of Papas, their head coach. It's been coming for a long time. And I was joined by Jamie for a quick chat about his feelings on the outgoing coach and the new man who they've appointed. So, Jamie, what's going on?
Well, I think, you know, it can't be a surprise to anybody, can it, that Papas has finally gone. People were calling for it back in sort of November, December, when it was obvious he had no idea what he was doing. And I think that maybe, as someone has intimated, that there was one or two players helped him keep his job. But no surprise at all. He only kept his job, I think, through February and March, because the players they brought in were such huge replacement on the players that they kicked out. You know, the team's been on fire. I think that's why he stayed. And I guess an international break is not a bad time to get rid of somebody. You've got time for the new coach to come in and work with the players who haven't got international duty. We'll talk about the guy who's coming in a minute.
We will, but just going back to Papas, you say it's not a big surprise. I think for me, the biggest surprise is the timing of it. I mean, as you know, you listen to the podcast regularly, and we're grateful for that. We were talking earlier in the season that it was only a matter of time before he went. And then he seemed to turn things around and everything improved, results picked up. Obviously, you're back on top of the table. So it just seems a strange time to get rid of him. Why now?
I think the opportunity has just arisen. You know, I think there's obviously, there's always things in the background at every club I would ask. And I think this guy's just become available. And I think a contact has been made through, and I'm going to throw it out there, Diogo Luis Santo, our golden boy, has got involved again, as he did with signing Bizzoli. And I guess they know each other. And no surprise, no coincidence that Diogo was in Buriram this weekend, the same weekend this guy is appointed. It's not rocket science to figure out there is a link there. And I think Buriram have gone, oh, great, we'll have this guy. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Papas. We'll have to come in now, please.
It will be a huge coincidence, wouldn't it? And he was posting enough photographs on social media of himself at the stadium. So, yeah, I think there's a lot in that, Jamie. Another school of thought, it's me. The defeat to Bangkok FC, do you think that's played a big part in it? To lose to a third division side, which in Buriram's case is just unthinkable, you know, the loss of face involved in that has played its part?
Not at all. I mean, you know, if you were going to pin one game to why you should go, it was the Port game where Buriram was just appalling and Port murdered us and we deserved it. The Bangkok FC game, it was a wonderful spectacle, and you know, it wasn't like we played badly. They just got the better of us on the day, and I don't think he's to blame for that, actually. I think they were just better than us on the day and they were up for it and we just couldn't finish them off. I wouldn't blame that at all. I loved it. I really enjoyed that game.
Personally, I'd like to think it was the two draws against Chonburi that did for him.
Losing to a team towards the bottom doesn't help, I have to say. That really is bad news.
But they've got a replacement. Would you like to introduce him? And then you can tell us your thoughts on his record and his height. This has been a big talking point on Twitter today. 6'11", apparently. Which means the two guys that were photographed with him must be about 7'4". So I can't wait to see them in the dugout. But joking aside, who is your new manager and what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'd like to know. I'd like to pretend I know all about him. I'd like to pretend I can pronounce his name properly, Jorge de Amorim Campos. But, you know, impressively, I was thinking about this, you know, 2018, we recruited a guy through Diogo again called Osvaldo, who not only was Brazilian, but had actually played for Brazil national team. So he was obviously a step, you know, way too good for the Thai League. And he stayed for 6 months. And when Diogo left, he left. We've now picked up a guy who's won the World Cup as a player. He played in the final in 1994. Mate, this guy is, you know, as a player, you couldn't fault him. Like you say, if you believe Wikipedia, he should be playing basketball, not managing football. And I think his, what is it, 900 appearances for Bayern Munich must be a record. I'm looking at his Wiki playing career and his managing career. The managing career seems to think that every year he changes club, which, I don't know, is it good for Buriram? Is he here just for the next seven games or is he here for the long term? Nobody seems to know right now, but he seems obviously to have a track record of going to good clubs, you know, Vasco da Gama, Kashima Antlers in Japan. So he's obviously managed at the top level. We can just wait and see. I guess we're hopeful. Seven games to go. You know, a lot can happen. We've still got to play BG away. We've got to play Mung Tong. We've got to play Chiang Rai. A lot can happen.
I think wait and see is probably the best approach. And like you say, whether it's going to be a long-term, well, relatively long-term contract, or whether he is just here for the rest of the season. So to sum up, how would you describe Papas's time in charge at Buriram United overall?
For the rest of the league, Papas's appointment was superb because it's meant the league has been competitive all year. I haven't been impressed. I've watched him in the dugout and he has become a total yes man for Mr. Chitchop. You know, you can see Nevin saying, do this, and he's going, yes, sir, yes, sir. So from that point of view, I haven't enjoyed his time. He's been a great guy at Birmingham United as a coach in the past, in the academy, fabulous. But this was maybe just a step too far for him, I think. And I wish, you know, wish him lots of luck in the future. I hope he gets a new job. He's obviously a nice guy. But he just wasn't suited to the number one post at Birmingham, unfortunately.
And the new man, if you could give him one piece of advice, what would it be?
Say yes to Nevin. Just, I don't know. I really can't think of advice. Just go with the flow. You know? Just let the players play. Because they obviously, if they can do so well under Papas for the first 2 months of the season, they can do well under him. So let them play. Let them play Brazilian football. Let's bring Samba to Birmingham.
Samba Iram. There you go. Yeah. Awesome. I've just coined that. I'm copywriting that. Samba Iram United.
I'm sorry about this for the Port Samba pit, mate. You've lost your title, friends. I'm afraid Samba's come to Birmingham.
Hi, my name is Isaac, and I'm listening to a Thai football podcast.
Now, before he disappeared up to the north of Thailand, Rob did one of his usual roving reports for us at the weekend. He was watching some Tonbury League action with his mate Steve. So this is their adventures in Minbury at the weekend.
Rob's Roving Report.
Yes, it's Sunday, so it must mean it's Rob's Roving Report Day. Well, today, it is nominally what is level 6 in Thailand. There's the 3 national divisions, the semi-pro league, the Thailand Amateur League, and then again, the competition today, the Tonbury League. The Tonbury League runs alongside the Bangkok Premier League, which has 2 or 3 divisions. And there's also the Bangkok Casuals League, which is for expats. Now, the Tonbury League of late, though it's titled Tonbury, has teams right across Bangkok, and it's stealing a march on its rival of late. It's generally played during the summer, which helps matters. Players are available, and they try to put in the performances, so they're picked up by T3 clubs. There's 3 sections in this competition, all geographically sectioned, and we're going to a game today between Banker P and Dream My Friends. We'll see how we get on. I'll give you a bit more background when we get to the ground. So here we are at Sampusan Irish Stadium, which is quite a grand title. There's a cover over the far side there between the 2 pitches at this venue for the players and officials and 1 or 2 supporters. I've got my mate Steve with us. Afternoon, Steve.
Afternoon. We're sat here in the shade, quite close to the bar area.
Bar and cafe there, changing rooms, toilets, good facilities, free admission. Great idea to pop along for some amateur football. This is Section C of the Tonbury League. They've got 2 sides of Banker P. They've a side in another section as well. But this particular side, they're in 3rd place. They could go top. Their opponents, Dream My Friends, a 2nd from bottom. So with that knowledge, not a lot else, Steve, I'll take your match prediction.
I'm going to say Banker P will win 3-0. What about your prediction?
Oh, I'm not a man for predictions, but I'm going to go 4-1 Banker P. So anyone who's thinking of having a bet, see it on Bet365, stay well clear of those 2 scores.
Call me if you want a bet.
Obviously gambling illegal here, and he is joking.
No, I'm not.
Times are hard. Yeah, about halfway through the first half, Dale, it's 1-0 to Banker P, the number 25, finishing off a lovely flowing move, 77 with the low cross. It's a very warm afternoon, and I've a feeling that Dream My Friends could suffer. What do you make of it so far, Steve?
The home side are dominating the game. The other team have only been in there half one time. I can see my 3-0 looking good at the moment.
We'll wait and see. Plenty of action, but it's quite slow pace. We've got through the first 25 minutes trying to ponder what quality the New England kit that I've ordered off Lazada will be. It might be going out as a price to readers in a couple of weeks if it's the usual Lazada fitting. Somebody who's very small might be winning it in a competition very soon. Well, we're about half an hour in, and I'm afraid your summarisers for today's game have opened the first beer, so it could get hazy later in the second half. But while we're still corpus mentis, an excellent second goal, through ball, number 91, just lifted it over the keeper. 2-0, the beautiful, big, lush pitch that the guys are playing on. They've had a water break, so we thought it was only right to join in and have a Leo break. 2-0 to Banker P after half an hour. Well, it's just before the interval and Stace's prediction of 3-0 is already in. Number 91 again, the tall striker, elegant going through, cleverly finished past the keeper. The near side linesman is literally flagging. I think he's lost the toss. The guy at the other side's got the shade. He keeps looking longingly at me and Steve with our B sat in the shade. So if there's a linesman shot in the second half and some debatable decisions, he's come and got on the sesh with us. 3-0, Steve, your prediction. Do you want to realign it, or was it a first half prediction?
It will stay 3-0. They won't score anymore, they'll take it easy now. Hopefully, you may be able to run the line in the second half.
I struggle to run a raffle these days. 3-0 and we're on the stroke of half time, but they're through again. Hang on, we'll wait. Oh, a tremendous save by the woodwork. Keeper even move. Still 3-0, it must be about half-time. Well, my learned colleague might be right that they won't score anymore in the second half. His scoreline's already down. 4-0, a jinking run from number 8. Really good run. Cleverly finished. 4-0. I tell you what, dream, my friend. They've got to be dreaming for something.
Didn't you say 4-1? I can't see that on me neither.
Yes, I did say 4-1 and I could be struggling. Where dream, my friend, are going to get a goal from? I don't know. 4-0, still the first half and a shocking challenge to boot. So the half-time whistle's gone here at Sampson on a steaming hot afternoon in the Tonbury League Zone C, and the half-time score here sees Banker P, the home side, going in 4-0 up against Dream, my friend. And to be honest, it's a fair reflection on the game. Excellent performance from the men in all white. They look a very good side indeed. You can see why they're third in the division. Everyone's going off for a cold drink, I suppose. Steve and I'll have a beer. We'll see what the second half brings. Well, we're into the second half and it's 5-0 Banker P. Number 29 played in. He was too strong for the keeper, went out to meet him, put the ball into an empty net. 5-0 about 5 or 10 minutes into the second half. While it's going to be tortuous for Dream, my friend's players, slightly more pleasurable for Steve and I. The beer is only 70 baht a large bottle. We're going to see if we can help the local economy. 6-0 about midway through the second half. A lovely lazy Sunday afternoon. I think the Dream, my friend's team are following our suit. They're getting a bit ragged at the back. The keeper, I think, is on a sponsored walk at times, but not exactly where he's meant to be going. Number 25, we believe the score of the last goal, a lovely lob. Nice afternoon, a game going on the second pitch now. It's a great facility here, with a nice place just to spend an idle Sunday afternoon and watch some football. And it's not a bad standard, to be fair. Banker P are a good side. Try and look at the fixtures, they're always on Twitter each week, and pick a game where they're playing a team at the top, because you'll get a good 90 minutes entertainment free of charge and there's a bar. Well, the shade's starting to kick in, thankfully, for the players. 7-up for Banker P. Number 8 on this occasion. Again, the Dream, my friend, keeper on walkabout. Ball slipped past him and then put into an empty net. 7-0, can't be too much longer to go. So, two predictions down. Bit of talking.
Well, I got nil. You said 4-1.
You're right. 7-0 the final score. Team's going off. There's another game waiting to go on. That's a great feature. These municipal pitches, probably private owned when I say municipal, but anyone can hire them. More football to come.
I don't think 7-0 flattered them.
No,
they were worthy winners.
They were very good with Banker P. I mean, we were cheering Dream, my friends, on in the last few minutes, and they did have a few attacks, to be fair. Well, it was played in good spirit, everyone happy, and we're going to be happy, and we might do a few post-match reflections in a craft bar.
There were no fouls, no one got booked, nothing like that. It was a very fair game, but the better team won, easily the better team. They were much more better than the other team.
Can't disagree with any of that. So we're going to adjourn to a craft bar around the corner where we might be talking some cobblers soon. 7-0 full-time. We've retired for some refreshments. We went down paths that generally after an away game in England would lead to a loosening of dentures. Now long paths through communities, the people could be more friendly. And we find ourselves in Crafter Coupon, which is maybe a 10-15 minute walk away from the ground. Steve, your overall impression of the game?
I thought the result was very fair. The better team won. The other team never really looked like scoring. I think 7-0 did not flatter them. It could have easily been 10. Nice little venue. Something about beers. And it was a fair game. Not one person got booked, but the referee never stopped the game when he didn't play. One went back to his head, but it was an accident. It was something like 5 minutes, but a great game. Great atmosphere. We had a good time. And now we've got a couple of beers. And some music.
Beer and music and snacks. And that's the beauty of Bangkok. When you go to these games, you find venues like this. We do try and get out and see some of the local community at the same time. I know it's not to everyone's taste, but there's more to Bangkok than Sukhumvit.
And we came here, it must have been a while ago, Rob, when we went to Pakwet. You still remember us coming last time?
I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or not, that he remembered us so well. We'll see in another hour or so. What a great lad behind the counter, gives us 3 samples, lets us put our own tunes on. You can't beat it. Proper day out. Yes, Dale, I did warn you it might turn into farce, and so I've been proven right once again. It's a bit of a sentimental journey. People ask why I live in Minbury, and it's down to the man next to me, who's moving to Nang Rong in the next week or so. So it's only fitting that tonight's ended in farce, as we're so many nights having Minbury when we've been out together over the years.
We've had a good drink in the bar next door, and now we're in some sort of karaoke bar while we're waiting for the bus.
The deal was to try and save money, because it's only 8 baht to get home on the bus. We waited over the road, and if one didn't leave Minbury bus station on my app within 5 minutes, we were getting a taxi. In the 4.5 minute an injury time, blow me, the bus left. So to try and save money, we've ended up buying an extra beer more than the taxi fare.
Also, no taxis went past.
No, true. So I messaged my missus and said I'm in a taxi home, when we're in fact having an extra beer. To save the taxi fare, which has cost us 110 baht for a beer. Oh, you get the story, it's just
we're paying 8 baht to get home.
You get the picture, folks, it's a shambles.
There's nothing wrong with being a tight northerner.
Totally agree. Well, the moral of the story is get out there, adventure, see life, and go and watch some local football. You'll have a great day out.
Great day at football. A great game. It was free. And then what we saved on the entrance fee, unfortunately, we spent a lot on beer.
Go out, folks. Meet friends. Be happy.
Thanks, fellas. It sounded like you had a brilliant time, and you clearly got home okay in the end, which I'm quite relieved about. I was getting worried when those things were coming through, because I get them sent in little snippets over the course of the day, and I was thinking, oh crikey, we're going to have them stuck there. 2 Yorkshiremen stuck in Minbury, drinking all night. Anyway, things could be a lot worse, couldn't they?
Hi, my name is Anthony, and I'm listening to a Thai football podcast.
Next up, we've got an interview with a Futura United fan. This is Blue. And Blue is one of the holders or fans of Futura United. If you were listening a couple of weeks ago, you'd have heard Mark Watson telling us all about the club and their revolutionary approach to football. Well, this is what it's like to be a fan of that and to buy into it and to contribute towards the success of the club.
A Thai Football Podcast interview.
Welcome, Blue. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, mate. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me on.
So, Futura United, you'll be a very happy man today because we're recording this not long after today's match has ended. Do you want to fill us in on the score and the performance?
Yeah, 7-0 against BSL. It meant to be an away game. Ended up at a neutral stadium in Ayutthaya due to some issues around staffing and stuff like that. So they didn't really have their home crowd there today, unfortunately for them. But yeah, 5-0 up at halftime. Academy kids coming on and scoring, flicks, tricks, all of it. And we've had some problems with set pieces over the last couple of seasons. I guess it's just one of those things with having the team together. But a couple of set piece goals today, one from Taku, corner header, and a couple more. But yeah, it's really sort of starting to come together. We had to change formation this season. We've been playing a 4-3-3 the last couple of years. But after last week's drubbing against Dome, we decided that maybe 4-3-3 wasn't quite working for the players. Obviously, a few new signings this season, new system for them. There was just too many holes, too many gaps. We even had some of the players that perhaps haven't performed that well over the last couple of seasons really stepped up today. So, yeah, very happy.
And it's a good way to bounce back after last week's defeat as well.
A lot of our chatter between the fans and the holders is in our Discord, which people can get to via the website, viteriaunited.com, or via the Twitter X, which is also at @viteriaunited. There's a lot of emotions running at the end of last week's game. But yeah, this week it's all smiles and laughs. So the difference a week can make, eh?
You're not in Thailand. So presumably you follow the games on the YouTube channel or the Facebook page, do you?
Yeah, that's it, on the YouTube. We've been on streaming the YouTube games for a couple of seasons now. We're actually hiring a separate streaming team. So we've got our own cameraman set up around the stadium. And we've got a couple of guys that are up in the top of the stadium with laptops and managing the stream and all that kind of stuff. So the club goes to a lot of expense to make sure that all the holders, I mean, say we're in the UK here, there's people in the East and West Coast, United States, we've got a couple in South America, Finland, Austria, France, Italy, Turkey, Australia, Thailand, obviously, Cambodia, Africa, Nigeria. It really is a worldwide fan base that have come together for this, and it all started basically through the NFTs. So 2 years ago when we had, I'm not sure if you're aware of sort of NFTs and how popular they were a couple of years ago, a lot of people lost a lot of money on them. Well, we've used them for their real purpose, not for your picture on X or Facebook or whatever, but actually for voting purposes. So before every game, the management will put up two or three votes for player positions or mentality or something like that. And the fans vote on who they want to play where. Yeah, it's been a lot of shuffling around this season because we signed some new players. And to be honest, they haven't quite turned up. Last game, we even stuck a centre back at centre forward to see if he could do a job. But unfortunately, that didn't work out either. So, yes, it's been chop and change, but it's all good fun.
Yeah, it's a fascinating project. I know when I was chatting to Mark, obviously I knew a few things about it, but when he was going into detail, I just thought this is quite incredible. And to have that support as well all around the world, I mean, there's very few clubs that can actually claim that. I can think of two or three off the top of my head, but that's amazing, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit dodgy for people with the times of games. That's been the main hurdle with that. Obviously, if you're in United States, this morning's game would have started at sort of 1 o'clock in the morning for you, maybe. So it's either you stay up through the night or you get up early. It's kind of the two ways around it usually. But yeah, that's the only real hurdle around it. And everybody else really watches back on replay on the YouTube. So throughout the day now, we'll start to get different people come in from different parts of the world who've then watched a match and have made a comment on it and what they think of it today, which will be very good because it'll be all nice comments and not, why was such and such not standing where it was meant to be and why was the left back out of position? I was going nuts with Dome because their right winger was sitting behind our left back. Communication seems to be a bit of an issue in Thai football in terms of nobody wants to dig anybody else out. I understand that in the culture, it's not something that's really done. Shouting in public, for instance, is not something that's really done. It's one of those things where I don't know if anybody was telling him that he had somebody over his shoulder the whole time, but against Dome, our left back absolutely showing up the entire match. So yeah, there's a few things like that with just gaps that need to be filled essentially more than anything else. And I mean, on today's performance, I think we're now going to be looking to outscore people.
And that was certainly the case today, wasn't it?
But yeah, definitely. Sorry, mate. So
what kind of viewing figures are you getting for the games?
At the time, it's generally only around 50 people, but when it's all watched back through everybody else, it's probably a couple of hundred up to a few thousand. It's really very variable. It also depends on the team that we're playing. Some of the teams obviously are promoting the fact that the game will be streamed and others probably aren't. So some games will get quite a lot of the opposition fans coming as well, which is good banter, even though I have to use Google Translate. But other than that, yeah, it's I'd have to check that one out, actually. It's not stats that I've got, but there is stats that the club have. But yeah, it does really make a big difference, I'd say. I mean, we've got sort of maybe a core fan of maybe, I don't know, 20, 25 people that are always chatting in the Discord, that kind of stuff. I mean, some of the American people, my friends, they don't want to get too involved with the conversation because they don't think that they know tactics well enough to be able to get involved, or people that perhaps, there's a lot of people that if they haven't watched a game before, they don't want to vote on the players for the next game. And I tell them to vote anyway. I completely understand where they're coming from. Some people are quite tentative about voting and making the wrong decision, essentially.
I suppose it's what people feel comfortable with, isn't it? I mean, it's nice to hear that, though, because you get some insight then into the pressures of actually being a coach, don't you? These are things you don't really think about as a fan necessarily, but because you have a lot more involvement than the average fan, these are extra pressures put on you. Must be a great experience.
It's the team behind the club that are making it, and they'll say it's the fans that are getting involved that are making it. The NFTs obviously put some money into the club to start off with. Us holders, essentially, we buy an NFT and then that is used as our voting token. So one NFT is one token, two NFTs is two voting tokens. It's as simple as that. So there was some initial money that was put in. We didn't sell all the NFTs. There's still plenty left if anybody else wants to get involved. But yeah, it's the amount of effort, time, and as I say, money that they put in. And that, well, they were even talking about the paperwork this week. They were a little bit worried going into this season, being that it's our first in the semi-pro and we've been in the Bangkok Premier League, which is technically an amateur league for the last couple of seasons, and is running that same way. And I even got into a couple of arguments with the league owners, I guess you would say, about some of the quality and some of their decisions. But anyway, yes, back to the paperwork, basically. Mark's English, we're having to work in Thai. We've got Thai staff around them as well, but they got all the paperwork done perfectly, and now we're hearing that some of the other clubs were not quite so diligent. Eggy Thai is now out of the league completely. That means that we've lost our points against Eggy Thai, and that makes it now a 5-team league rather than a 6-team league. Dome, who are, you'll have to, is Dome the best amateur or semi pro team in Thailand? Because I've heard that a couple of times. They're in our league, and I'm not sure whether it's true or not.
Yeah, they've got a very good reputation. They're very well run. And obviously, as you found out last week, you know, they're a decent side as well. Although they lost this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Lucky San beat them this yesterday 2-1, I believe. Yeah, they've got an ex-Thai international playing for them, but they didn't play him this week against Lucky San. They're a decent team, not to be underestimated. Some really fast and some good interchange between their players. So I think Lucky San are definitely, they put a cat amongst the pigeons, to put it that way.
How do you keep up with all the information from the other teams? You're obviously quite knowledgeable about what's going on. Presumably, Futeri, it's quite easy, like you're saying, you've got all the chat rooms and everything that you can go into and talk about your club. But how do you personally keep up with all the news from what's going on throughout the rest of the country and other teams in your league?
There's this guy, I think his name's Dale Farrington. I'm not too sure. I think his name's Dale Farrington. Yeah.
I wasn't fishing then, Blue. I wasn't.
No, honestly, mate. Honestly, it's you guys, especially on Twitter. You've got a whole community of English speaking people that are in Thailand from various countries around the world that are reporting all these different games, and you're all retweeting each other. That is how I'm now getting most of my information, because you guys are more trustworthy than a lot of the team websites and a lot of the league websites. You know, they're often quite slow to update. So I can see almost in real time what's happening in matches just by watching the Twitter feed now of you guys and the people that are involved in this podcast. And I know I'm not trying to blow smoke up your proverbial, but that's literally true. Mark will obviously feed us back information. He's in Thailand, and so Luke and Connor and the other guys involved in the club. But you guys are a fantastic source of information. And the Thai League 3 Twitter feed, because they'll cover any league as well. So yeah, you guys cover anything from amateur, semi-pro, T3, T2, T1, and other Asian leagues. So you guys would be my answer to that question, mate.
Thank you. That's good to hear. I mean, there's always been a really good community online. There used to be an old Thai football message board with about half a dozen of us sharing information. And it's good to see that that's carried over to Twitter. And it's nice to get feedback, because sometimes you think you're shouting into a void. So it's good to hear that, you know, what we're posting, and, you know, a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into getting the information out there. So it's nice to know that it's actually having some effect as well. So thanks for that. And I wasn't fishing for compliments. I thought you might have like insight into this. There might be newsletters or whatever. I don't know how it works, but that's good to hear. So how long have you actually been involved with the club? How long have you been a holder? And why did you first get involved?
The why is Football Manager, the game. I was addicted to Football Manager as a child. Well, I was addicted as an adult as well. And the opportunity to essentially help manage a club without having to get the badges and actually get a job. You know, I've actually got a say in how a club runs without actually having to do any of the hard work, let's say. It's been almost sort of getting on for 3 years now. No, it is 3 years. As time flies, you're having fun. Our manager is fairly well known then. So it's not as if he's not knowledgeable, but he was prepared to work with us and say, okay, well, you can show me what you think and what you want to do. Then we'll go with it. And they did. And the coaches, to their credit, actually enjoy us sending them screenshots of team sheets and formations and could we do this, could we do that? And it's, so there is sort of a bit of play between the coaches and the staff and the holders in that respect. It's not that everything that we say goes. It's that when they put the votes up, if we vote in a particular way, they have to follow it. So the why was football manager and wanting to get involved with the running of a club, essentially, and being able to do it from the bottom up. I mean, my ideal, I've got to admit, my ideal wasn't for it to be in Thailand, but the other one that was going at the time was with Crawley Town, WAGME, they called themselves, which is an acronym for We're All Gonna Win Together. Ironically, they haven't all won together, and that's all fell apart because it's the way that you actually put this all together. And that was a new set of American owners coming into a lower league English club, well-established, very old English club with its own set of unique fans, and not really been able to mix the two together, having these holders that want to make decisions and these fans that have supported the club for generations. And you couldn't really mesh the two together, as where for us starting at the beginning, it means that we're building from the bottom up, and the fans that are now coming to the games, they might not even know that we exist, but we're more of one whole entity as opposed to being several different entities that need to be joined together. So for me, this project was a lot more appetizing in that respect, to build from the bottom up rather than trying to force something. And it'll be that as well with us being English and trying not to force too many things upon a Thai club. One thing that I've been moaning about has been training. I can't see the training, so you don't really know what's happening, but I can tell that they love to play seven aside and don't love to be in the weights room and don't love to watch film. So there's an element there of wanting them to train like we do in England without forcing it upon them.
These kind of things are coming in more at the top level now. I mean, that was all a big bugbear of mine when I first started watching, that they didn't do things like that. Things that are the norm in England, like you say, you know, working on weight training or watching videos of the opposition or having sessions without the ball and all these kind of things. But it's happening more and more in the top flight. I think top flight teams are getting more progressive in their thinking and their outlook. They're getting more professional. So I think that will probably filter down eventually. The other thing that we used to get a lot of was friendly games. If there weren't any fixtures for whatever reason, or even if there were, sometimes they'd have friendly matches during the week and not train. They'd just play a full-scale 90-minute match against a team they've probably played two or three times already in the season. So I think something like that will filter down. And I got the impression, talking to Mark as well, he is very aware. And, you know, you've mentioned the culture and how to handle things. He seems to be very clued up on that. He's got the experience. And I think, you know, it's a gradual thing. You know, these things will come in eventually. Just be patient in that respect. That's what I'm getting at, really.
Yeah, and I think as well, at the moment, we're signing players on a free. So we're not signing players from T1, T2, T3 necessarily. We're signing players that are coming up from amateur, so they don't have that pre-existing knowledge of how to train themselves and this kind of thing. To his credit, one of our players, Eek, we've got all our own nicknames for the players so that the English people know who they are. So Eek, he took several months off work to actually train himself. Not several weeks off work at least to train himself. And that's so admirable for a player that's not really getting paid a proper wage and just wants to better himself and be a better footballer and move up the ranks with us. So yeah, back to the nicknames. A lot of the players will have their own nicknames. So our goalkeeper is called Film. Our captain is called Jew. But we've got Ian Beale, we've got Ika Mouse, who's a reggae artist. We had Ian Beale and Cindy Beale at one point. Cindy Bill has now left us, although Cindy Bill didn't know he was being called Cindy, thankfully. It's a little bit disrespectful, but it was the only way that we could remember who all the players were, especially as they were coming in saying, my name's Bew. Okay, what's your name? My name's Bew. Okay, so you're Bew 1 and you're Bew 2 then, okay? We are needing to use our own names for the players and kind of make it a little fun and try to make it respectful at the same time. We've signed new people and we try to give them a nickname. But yeah, the signings this season have not really worked out, if I'm honest. We've signed several new players that were absolutely world beaters in the trial games and since then haven't turned up. We've got a left back who I still believe can be a world beater, but he just does not know where he is in the game at the moment. I think he just needs longer to train with the team. But then we've got other people like Taku. I think he's mixed Thai and Japanese heritage. He's a central midfielder, full of energy, runs about the pitch, tackling people, takes our free kicks, scored a header off a corner today. He's been absolutely killing it since he came in. We're directly connected with PSW Academy, which, as far as I'm aware, is fairly well known in Thailand and have produced some decent players in the past. The benefit of that is that essentially now as one entity, we use the same pitches and are building up our ground at the PSW Academy, and all of the graduates from PSW are coming into our team. I mean, we've got some potential future stars at the moment, and I know that sounds presumptuous from a semi-pro team. We've got a 16-year-old today who was doing sort of, you know, Rabonas and outside of the pass no look. He's an absolute star. It's called Beam. And we played him last year when he was 15 and thought, oh, okay, he's got something about him. He's still a child and he's dominating against men today. We got Fu, attacking midfielder, also plays left wing and right wing. He's probably one of the best attacking midfielders in semi-pro. I think he could do it at probably T3 now, and in a couple of seasons it wouldn't surprise me if he was playing in T2. He just needs proper, well, it sounds bad for me to say this, he needs real professional coaching 7 days a week. And the benefit for us being tied to PSW is that we don't just have 2, 3, 4 coaches. We have our coaches and then we have all the coaches at PSW as well. So if it seems that we need extra work on set pieces, then we take coaches from PSW essentially and they work extra with our players. So it means that we can bring in extra staff at any point if we've got a particular frailty that we need to work with. So having PSW as our academy has been very advantageous so far. And I mean, to be honest, in the future, this is part of your revenue streams. You're bringing players through, these kids, you play them in your team for as long as you can afford to, and then you sell them to one of the T1 clubs. And as part of the way that we're going to move our way up the leagues, I'm guessing.
It sounds like the long-term plan is to get promoted. Again, you know, chatting to you today and Mark the other week, very impressed. You are very organised. You seem to be taking everything in your stride. You know, you're not trying to run before you can walk. I think a couple of years time we could see you in the league system. Players will be wanting to come to you then. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? As you become more and more successful, you'll become more of an enticing proposition for players wanting to join and be part of the project. It's all looking good, isn't it? I mean, you must be feeling very optimistic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, our last two trials, we've had over 100 players turn up. One is a trial. We've tried to sign people. So the Nigeria fans that I spoke about earlier comes from us trying to sign some Nigerian players last year. And it all falling through eventually, which was a lesson in itself. But one of those was actually at Mulder, the team that Haaland was playing at. So he was at Mulder the year before Haaland. So that's the pedigree that he came from. So there are people that want to come and play for the club because we've got an international fan base that are watching. But there is already that element to it just by virtue of having so many eyes on us.
I can totally understand that. It must be a great opportunity for lots of young players. Just finally, before we finish, have you any plans to come over and watch the team in the flesh? If you haven't seen them already, that is.
I haven't, and I would absolutely love to, but I run a mushroom business in the UK, and so I'm very much on top of that all the time to provide to various restaurants. So that's my day-to-day, and I can't necessarily leave it. If I was to leave it, which I am trying to do, you know, I need a week or two to go to Thailand. I could just shut it all down and leave, but I don't think the restaurants would be too happy about that. So yeah, it is in my plans, and it's just working out the right time to do it. Now we've actually got a proper fixture list, which we haven't had in the last couple of seasons. We can actually plan, as I say, that makes such a difference, because for the club, they can plan everything. But as I say, for the fans, we can now plan to turn up at a particular point, as where the last couple of seasons, we didn't know when the seasons were starting, when they were ending, and what was happening in between. So it's one of my, I think, life goals, maybe a bit too much. But yeah, to get to Thailand now is one of my sort of bucket list things.
Well, it'll be great to see you at a game one day, Blue. I'd love to get to a Futera game. Rob was there last week and he spoke very highly of the setup. So I think it's something we've all got on our bucket list, really. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on. You're welcome back anytime. Any updates or anything else you want to discuss about the club, or just your journey watching Thai football? Because I think it's all new to you. It must be fascinating. I mean, there are a lot of things that you've probably never experienced before.
Yep, everything from the referees and onwards. But there seems to be a lot of talk in Thailand about referees, so I'll leave that for everybody else. But yeah, thanks for having me on. And once again, I'll wait till we have another big win. Not after we play Dome. That's the thing. I won't come on after that.
Right.
We're going to beat them next time. We're going to beat them. Don't worry.
All the best, anyway, for the rest of the season. And like I said, we're watching your progress very, very closely. And it's a fascinating story. So really enjoy discovering more and more as the weeks go by. So thanks for being a part of that, and hopefully see you at a match in the not too distant future.
Yeah, that's it, mate. As us Futerians say, Futera Susu.
Thanks for joining us, Blue. Fascinating insight into what it's like being a fan of a unique club, I think it's fair to say. So that's about it for this week. Just like to say thank you to Rob and Steve, to Jan and Michael, to Jamie and to Blue. And I'm going to leave the final word to Rob. There's something he wants to get off his chest before he can enjoy the rest of his holiday. Over to you, mate. Vent away.
Yeah, lovely Tuesday here in Pye. And an interesting time again. Never a dull time, really, is there, in Thai football? Seeing clubs in financial problems in T2. Personally, I think Kasetsart have played it quite well. Madam Pan and her new cohorts, the last thing they want to do is lose clubs. And they're going to sort the money out for them. It's as simple as that. There's no way they're going to lose face, in my opinion. So, well done, Kasetsart. It might start the ball rolling and sort everything else out. I'm not blaming Madam Pan at all. It's the previous regime that failed to support those clubs. She's merely trying to put it right in the short time she's had so far. Anyway, we've really enjoyed Pai. We go to Chiang Mai tomorrow. So all the best, Dale, and all the best, listeners. Try and get to some football at the weekend as ever.